From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Alaska fishermen were wounded in the battle of tariffs between the Trump administration and China. Now, a new seafood trade relief program announced this week provides $530 million for fishermen and processors in the state. We've heard a lot about how global warming and changes in seawater temperatures are causing havoc in many fisheries. But Alaska waters are massive and stretch through vastly different regions. Scientists and fishermen are finding some positive changes as some fish seem to be relocating as they adapt to changing water temperatures. Bering Sea crabbers will soon learn what their catches will or will not be for the season that opens on October 15th. And finally, a new fisheries and marine science graduate program at the University of Alaska Fairbanks includes Native Alaska ways of knowing based on traditional use of fish resources. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
China is Alaska's biggest exporter of seafood products. So it was no surprise that Alaska's fishermen and processors got caught in the middle of a trade war between the Trump administration and China. Farmers got help, but Alaska's farmers of the sea were left out. Now relief is on the way in the form of $350 million in aid, which was announced on Wednesday. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue and Alaska's congressional delegation praised the Seafood Trade Relief Program, which supports a long list of seafood types eligible for relief funding. Fishermen can sign up for relief by applying through their local USDA service center. The application can be found at www.farmers.gov/seafood. Farmers.gov/seafood. The program opens on September 14th and runs through December 14th.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs.
Scientists like to say that climate change creates winners and losers in Alaska. Some species will struggle, but others could benefit from warmer habitats. One of those climate change winners could be pink salmon in the Arctic. Nat Hirst with Alaska's Energy Desk has this story on a new study that connects the dots.
Sheldon Brower is a subsistence fisherman in the North Slope village of Koktovik on the Beaufort Sea. He normally fishes for Dolly Varden, a type of char, and his net is not set up to catch salmon, which are rare in his part of the state. So far this year, he's landed one pink salmon anyway.
There's like a 2.5-inch mesh, and the salmon will just bounce right off. They won't even get caught in the net. I was just lucky that we caught one. It was kind of small.
In recent years, though, Brower and other Koktovik residents have been seeing more pink salmon showing up, along with another fish called saffron cod. Brower wants to take more of the fish home, so now he's getting a net with a larger mesh that should trap more of the salmon.
I don't normally eat salmon, but I've had some like salmon chips and smoked salmon. I want to start trying to make that. Well, I want to try and catch as much as I can.
Ed Farley is a federal scientist in Juneau, and he says Brower isn't the only Arctic resident tracking an increase in the number of pink salmon.
Maybe, in the past, they'd see a few adult pink salmon here and there every few years. Now they're seeing them every year. So then the question becomes, is this kind of a signal of what might be happening for pink salmon in terms of their production for the future?
Farley is lead author of a new study in a journal called Deep Sea Research that has some good news for Arctic subsistence fishermen like Brower. Scientists have new evidence that global warming could produce higher numbers of pink salmon in the Arctic. The scientists, who are from the U.S. and Canada, looked at temperatures in Nome and found that when it's warmer, young pinks do better, which in turn makes it more likely for a larger number of adult fish to spawn the following summer. That area is farther south, near the Bering Strait, where pink salmon are actually spawning. That's not happening yet further north, where Brower is catching them. Those fish are just straying up there periodically, but Farley says that could change.
It's likely in the future we could see successful spawning, which when that happens, you're going to see more pink salmon in the high Arctic.
While Farley's paper documents one particular species doing better in the Bering Sea as global warming continues, this is not good news for fishermen across the board. The marine heat wave known as the blob hurts salmon and cod in the Gulf of Alaska. Farley says he thinks warmer water up north means the water is too warm for the same species farther south.
You know, the Bering Sea is already, it was a little cooler than the Gulf of Alaska, and this warming, we seem to be moving into a sweet spot. for salmon, whereas when we got really warm in the Gulf, we exceeded that sweet spot.
Farley says scientists are continuing to study warming in the Bering Sea, and their next focus is looking at how changes in the abundance of prey could lead to more salmon growth. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Turning now to Bering Sea crabbers, what's the outlook for the upcoming season? For that, we go to Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio.
Bering Sea crabbers will soon know what their catches will or won't be for the upcoming season that opens on October 15th. This month, the crab plan team, advisors to fishery managers, will review the stock assessments and other science for Bristol Bay red king crab, Baird Eye Tanners, and snow crab. The data is used to set the catches, but this year the COVID virus canceled the summer surveys.
There was no nymph summer trawl survey, which is an important data point going into our stock assessment. And this is the first time in decades that we haven't had that survey, so there's going to be some added uncertainties.
Jamie Gowen is director of the trade group Alaska Bering Sea Crabbers, which represents harvesters. Gowen says the fleet is anticipating an opener for Bristol Bay red king crab.
Our preliminary indication is that there's possibly going to be a small red crab fishery this year. However, we've heard from scientists in the past that there hasn't been good recruitment into this fishery for over a decade.
On the brighter side, the snow crab stock has been on a steady upward tick.
So even without a survey, you know, I think the outlook for Opelio is good. It's hard to say, though, given no survey, whether the tack would end up being about the same as last year, which was 34 million pounds.
A revised management strategy for Baird Eye Tanners also could revive a fishery that produced 2.4 million pounds in 2018. The uncertainties from no surveys has the fleet on edge. Gowen says they fear it will result in extra fishing restrictions that are not needed.
We're already a heavily buffered fishery because of the variability in our stocks, and we're not even coming close to approaching the already existing buffers. So we don't think there needs to be added buffers this year.
You can tune in live to the Crab Plan Team meetings from September 14th through 17th. Find links at alaskafishradio.com.
That report was provided by Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org.
Native ways of knowing are often ignored in Western science. But a new program, Recruiting Now, will be investing in Native scientists who can broaden the outlook of research, particularly in fisheries. KUAC's Robin reports from Fairbanks.
A new graduate traineeship program at the University of Alaska Fairbanks is called Tamumta, which means all of us, in the Sugpiak and Yupik languages. The idea is to broaden and diversify graduate education in fisheries and marine sciences.
Our major goal is really transforming how we teach about fisheries, give recognition to the amazing depth of knowledge that Indigenous people have, and Western science and management systems pretty much makes that totally invisible.
That's Dr. Courtney Carruthers of the UAF College of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences, or CFOS. She's the principal investigator on the project. About 20% of Alaska identifies as Native, but less than 3% of the current students at CFOS do. This project is recruiting Native scientists and non-Natives to feature Indigenous knowledge in scientific research. The project was built by a cross-disciplinary group of faculty members from several colleges at UAF. Dr. Jessica Black, a co-investigator from the College of Rural and Community Development, is Gwich'in. She says a goal of the Tamamta project is to elevate Native science and management alongside Western systems.
Not tucked underneath, but actually recognized as the intact knowledge systems that they are, represented in the university and in other spheres of decision-making.
Carruthers says, as a non-Native, she's learned a lot about racism, and she would like this project to draw attention to inequities in the ways fisheries are managed.
Indigenous people are very much excluded from those systems.
Nearly 80% of CFOS fisheries graduates go on to work in state, federal, and tribal resource management, and 60% remain in Alaska. So Tamamta students are likely to be part of the next generation of scientists and managers in the state.
I believe that change is happening, but I do think that takes time and critical conversations and adequate representation. So I think it will take time.
And the project has $3 million from the National Science Foundation to do it.
We're hoping to recruit about 20 Indigenous and allied non-Indigenous students over the next 5 years. So the majority of the money goes to stipends and tuition for students.
The project is designed with interdisciplinary classes, cultural immersion, art projects, and critical conversations, as well as science, to connect Indigenous systems and raise awareness of inequities that might be invisible.
We have a companion project, hopefully featuring a Yupik artist to make visible the Indigenous connections to fish. You know, if you walked into our building on UAF campus, you'd never know that there's Indigenous fisheries, right? There's not Yupik or Inupiaq or Supiaq names. Really drawing attention to these exclusions and erasures and really trying to turn the lens on that and address that.
The project is recruiting now for the first cohort to get started in the fall of 2021. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Nat Herz with the Alaska Energy Desk, Robin at KUAC in Fairbanks, and Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio. As always, a big thank you to you, our listeners, and to the radio stations that make this program possible. For you fishermen, please be extra careful now that we're heading into the fall and winter weather. And remember to follow the COVID rules. Wash your hands, wear a mask, and keep social distance. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.